News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
This morning, News Talk Breakfast is continuing our series of discussions on violence against women in Ireland. And today we're looking at the rehabilitation of the actual perpetrators. Now, earlier I spoke to Owen O'Neill. Now, Owen O'Neill is the CEO of Move Ireland. What is Move Ireland? Move Ireland stands for Men Overcoming Violence. And I started by asking him what services Move Ireland provides.
Yeah, well, Move Ireland provides domestic violence perpetrator intervention programs for men who are abusive in their intimate relationships. So it is largely a group work program based on cognitive behavioral therapeutic ideas and concepts. So, you know, when a man comes onto our program, he's challenged about his behavior. He really gets to learn about the impact of domestic violence on his partner and indeed his children, to our children in the family. A lot of men who come on to our programs have this belief that, you know, that the children aren't aware that there's conflict between him and his partner. But the reality is that the children are very much aware that mum is being abused and isn't happy. We teach men around how to manage their feeling and manage their use of violence. So we would teach them timeout strategy, mindfulness, and really try and change the way they think and their attitudes about women.
How are abusers referred to your organisation, and what is the breakdown of that group of abusers?
About 40% of our client group come from TUSLA, the child and family welfare organisation. About 20% come from probation. We get about 20% who are self-referrals, and the remainder really come from a whole range of other organisations, counselling services, marriage guidance, substance misuse services, mental health services. So, you know, there's a whole range, really, of agencies that refer into us.
Now, Owen, in relation to the number of referrals that you receive, is it fair to say that these men who are referred to you know and realise that they have a problem and they are the source of that problem?
No, unfortunately, that isn't the case. An awful lot of men who come to us still deny and minimise their behaviour. They blame their partners. They rationalise that it is, you know, oh, it's only the drink, or if I had a job. So we, you know, and that is really the first conversation that we have with the men around, why are you here? Do you take responsibility for your actions? And unless we have a clear view that they are willing to do that, really, we can't proceed, really. They've got to take responsibility for what's happening in the home.
How do you identify individuals, say, who are just playing along with all of this, who are convincing actors, who have no real intention of changing their behaviour, and all they want to do is impress the judge or the organisation that has forced them to go to Move Ireland in the first place?
Look, it is a real challenge. Men come to us and are with us between 6 and 9 months. They're on a group program. We also have individual sessions with them. And they really are challenged to participate, share and disclose about their behaviour and their attitudes. And if a man is sitting there quiet, even saying all the right things, we will challenge them. Our staff are well experienced in this. And they know when a man is being manipulative. Now, I'm not saying that that is easy. It is a real challenge to confront men who are like that. I would say that an awful lot of the men, once we break through that denial and we break through the shame that they feel about their behaviour, we can move men on.
Now, Owen, physical and sexual violence are the offences which are the most disturbing and which attract the most attention, but there are other forms of abuse that don't get the same level of comment. Can you just tell us what they are?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the new domestic violence bill that's going through the government at the minute, it's highlighting the whole issue of coercive control, and that is really psychological abuse. Men who are using the fear of violence but don't and aren't violent. So they control women in a whole range of ways. Financially, they control their money. They control who their partners are friends with. They control how often they interact with their own family. So there's a whole range of measures that men will employ. And for a lot of women, they would actually say that that type of abuse is the most traumatic. It's actually more traumatic than the physical violence.
Now, this type of abuse is much more insidious. It's harder to identify. In fact, it's the hardest type of abuse to detect, because the women concerned, the victims, are people who have no confidence, no self-confidence. They lack self-esteem, and they've been left in a way that they feel that nobody in the outside world will listen to them, or nobody in the outside world will consider them important enough to even think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Women may see this as normal, particularly if they feel that they can't confide in a friend or a family member. And certainly getting convictions for this type of behaviour is very, very challenging. Coercive control. Now, that's something that judges and the guards need to be educated about. It clearly needs to be in there because it was recognised that the current legislation wasn't fit for purpose. It is very insidious, and it is very, very hard to actually prove that such abuse exists.
I know we've been talking about the perpetrator, but what assistance does your organisation give to the women, to the victims of all of this?
Yeah, well, look, every man that comes on to our programme, we insist on getting their partner or their ex-partner's details, and we will offer support to that person. It's support totally within their own right, and it's delivered by someone else. So it isn't delivered by the staff who are working with the perpetrator, it's delivered by someone else. And we support those women by educating them about the actual program. It's also a perfect opportunity to let those women know about the range of support services that are available locally, because we find that a lot of the women who come in contact with us aren't aware of the services that currently exist locally. It's also a very good way that we are able to check in with the partner how the man is actually behaving at home. So it's an integral part of what we do in terms of providing support for the women. Now, not all women take up the offer. For many of them, they have left the man and they have no intention or they're not interested at all in availing of our services. And obviously that's something, that we have to.
How do you measure success in this very difficult area?
Yeah, look, it is a very difficult area. Our program is a national program. It's funded by CUSC, who oversee the domestic violence, sexual violence strategies, and it's based on evidence-based practice. And there has been research done about group-based programs, and they are the most effective in terms of challenging and changing behaviour. Now, look, the evidence basically says that some men who come on to our programme, they will stop their violence and significantly change their abusive behaviour. Others will go some way towards that and may reduce their violence, but there still will be elements of control. And then there are others who will continue to use their violence. But it's clear that in the majority of cases, domestic violence perpetrator programs can reduce dangerousness. Plus the fact that we link in with the women as well, that's another way that we can actually educate women and protect them as well if the perpetrator isn't interested in changing.
And thank you, Owen O'Neill of Move Ireland. Now, if you want to find out more information about their national services, which are open to both men and women, log on to their website, moveireland.ie.